Welcome back, friends. Yes, we're about to have application with the virus. I was going to draw it to taxes. And so Micah ended off with the small business owner having to make the choice of, is he going to hire someone? Is he going to be able to stay open with increased taxes, regulations, fees, and other whatnot that the government comes up with? Well, I'm going to tell you, governments, through their own decisions, are all facing a massive shortfall due to their policies in regard to the virus. And I saw one politico here in the state of Texas wanting to start one of his ways to make up for the decrease of costs is to add to the gasoline tax. And so those people, you know, who are more economically vulnerable have a harder time with that sort of thing. All those little taxes, right? If someone's in a very comfortable house, they don't have to work like a politician, worry where their next meal is like a politician, worry about where they're getting their votes, like a number of them who seem to be able to rig the election. 2 cents here, 2 cents there per gallon of gas doesn't seem to matter to them. Yeah, but to those who are in a more vulnerable position, it does add up. And it's just not the 2 cents on that gasoline. That gasoline is going to get caught trafficking into food. I don't know about you, Micah, but I've noticed a tremendous increase in food cost at the store because of the virus.
Yeah.
And that's a direct impact on people's lives.
It's interesting how people forget how connected everything is, you know, yep. Because it's like they can write it off as, oh, it's just a gas tax. It's not going to do anything. And they can kind of like play it off as not having a greater impact on the fact that, well, you got to get your food to every market, and that is going to be impacted by higher gas rates, and just like everything, then that's going to, you know, it's just, I think it feels like so often the higher ups think that we're just a bunch of dumb citizens, you know?
And that's exactly right. They do think we're a bunch of dumb citizens. And I think that they can feel impervious to our opinions if in part they don't have to worry about how they get elected by us. And so that's why we spent so much time on voter integrity as our first foray into civics. I know I was invited to sit in on a meeting with a local government on economic issues, and you know, they're looking at the shortfall. And I came straight out. I said, hey, it wasn't the citizens who put you in this pickle. You put yourself in this pickle. You did not have hearings. You did not go through the legislative process to vet this idea of yours. You just issued out edicts, mandates, so-called regulations, and other assorted behaviors. And I think it's on you to cut yourself and live with the consequences, and don't put it yet again on the poor citizenry.
Yeah.
So practical suggestions, Micah. The rule of law. So we're back to that rule of law business. It's critical to economic freedom. Local governments have incredible amounts of power. And it's amazing just how quickly they can move when it's desired. Did you notice how quickly they decided, at least around here in Bexar County, they could decide to have a curfew at Thanksgiving?
Yeah. That's funny. I felt bad because I left the state. I went to Iowa.
It's like, my gosh, right? Weren't we raised up until the blessed virus hit? we were taught, you know, governments take so long. It's a deliberative process, whatever.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, well, they can move
fast. That was fast, yeah.
That was fast if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Vote. So the first one is that the rule of law, and particularly at the local level. So the second part to that would be voting. Voting in all of the elections, no matter how big or how small. And tied strictly to that is to be involved with the voting process so that your vote matters, or my vote matters, right? So that we aren't having people who are selected for us, but they actually are elected. And if one can be a poll worker or a precinct judge, I was trained as a poll watcher, that's great, right? That's great. But I know not everybody has that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to put this idea out there while we're in the process of making determinations on voting. I really want us to consider what the cost is to having these elections go on. Early voting, they go on for, I don't know, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. They go from 8 to 10. The longer the voting process goes on, the harder it is to secure it.
Yeah.
It really, really is. The kind of people, if you go vote, if a person goes to vote, you'll see that most of those people are older people. Mm-hmm. Like me and older. Just because of the kind of hours, you know, it only comes around every 2 years or every 4 years. So
yeah.
It's not the kind of work most people, if they're younger, such as yourself, can really do. And those people are not always in the best of health. And there's no way they can do, even if they're not inclined to anything evil, even if they're just doing the very best they can do, there's no way those people can go from, they have to show up at 6 if the polls open at 8 to get everything ready. Then they start end at 10 to close it down. And then, if depending on how that goes, how long that is, that could be 11 or 11:30.
Yeah.
And we're talking about like 65 and 70-year-old people with a variety of health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the best of circumstances, we know that that's just is a recipe for disaster. Then you throw in nefarious and evildoers, and then it's easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any thoughts at that point before we go through more practical ideas?
Sorry, Karen, you kind of cut out there.
Oh, any more thoughts? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I think it's interesting, and I think I'm encouraged a lot by how much I see my generation understanding the necessity for getting involved and just how much of a wonder it is to have a government that we have so much of an impact on, you know, and I don't want people to get so discouraged and disheartened by the lack of security, you know, because it right. does feel that way in this year more than any other, where it's like, I think it's so much of it is just the virus, but just people just feel on edge and like they can't trust anything anymore, you know, what with just all the different media and everything and all these biased opinions endlessly being thrown at us. It makes it hard to want to get more involved because after a while, it kind of feels like, well, why do I even participate when I can't trust my leaders anyway, you know?
That's right. And you are exactly right. There is a lot to do. And the very fact that we're having these conversations is so important. It's so important because, well, you can't fix something if you don't know there's a problem. You can't be, evildoers grow in the dark just by giving a look at things causes an improvement.
Yeah.
And yes, there's a lot that can be done. And we're going to continue on because the next part is going to be communication. So.